Welcome to DDG episode 5. Joined as always by Michael Swick.
Hey, I have a voice. I didn't scream too much at the wrestling show I went to yesterday.
I was really curious about that. I was like, I wonder what he's gonna sound like.
No, I don't get that hyper at events, but yeah, there was a couple moments where I did shout really loud. But I'm okay.
My name is Dave Hunt, and we are recording this the week of Thanksgiving before Michael and I have our own little mini versions of hell with the retail world. And our goal is to hopefully that you guys are listening to this maybe while you're traveling. I'm going to try my hardest to make sure that this podcast is released on Wednesday this week instead of Thursday so that everybody can have it to listen to and to prepare themselves for life with their family members that they may love or may say that they love and can't wait till Thursday's over. So if you're driving right now, please be safe. And if you are not traveling with family or you're hosting, bless you, because that takes a lot of work and we've done both ends of that. So I hope everyone, at least in those of you listening in the States, has a safe and happy Thanksgiving as well as a stress-free Black Friday weekend.
I'll just echo that then. Yeah. You kind of nailed everything. I really hate the holidays just because of years of retail. So anytime I hear Thanksgiving, I don't think of spending time with family. I think immediately of retail hell.
Yeah, so it is what it is at this point in time. So you are obviously listening to Digital Days Gaming, our weekly podcast that we do live on Twitch every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern, twitch.tv/Digital Days Gaming. And it is also available on, I think, just about damn near every other podcast service in the world that we found so far.
Yeah, we're trying.
So if you have found this show, thank you so much for listening. Please consider subscribing, leaving a review so that other people that discover the show figure out if they like it or don't like it based on your review, maybe. And then sharing the show wherever possible. The tweets and the favorites and the shares on Facebook or any kind of social media have been amazing and helping the show grow. Just from a statistical standpoint, which Michael and I are both pretty stat-driven people, episode 4 is doing very, very well. So as we're progressing through, it seems to be that it's going up versus stagnant. That's always good.
Yeah, the bar graphs are in the right direction. The line graphs are also in the right direction.
The pretty colors are climbing. So.
Yes, yeah. I love that our podcast service provides graphs and data like that. So it's fun to look at that.
And it does one that I really, really liked, and I didn't know that I liked it, nor did I know that I missed it, of the first 7 days since release.
Yes.
That's always really cool. And I was like looking at some of those and thinking, wow, this is pretty interesting numbers. So.
Oh, no. It also gives you the weird thing where we're still new, so it's not that weird, but a thing in our previous work we see where people will listen to the older episodes, even though it's like a topical show. It's always interesting seeing that, or to say, oh, okay. So
yeah,
listen to episode 1, but we're only a month old, so that's more reasonable than 100 episodes in.
And like we've talked about before, we're kind of striving to where, even, like, we didn't want to use that kind of news to where you'd feel like, well, I already heard about all that stuff, I don't want to hear about it again. We try to offer our own personal insights to where, even if you are, like, maybe 6 weeks or 8 weeks behind, like, we're not talking about something that's that on point of a date and time that doesn't mean that what our conversation isn't relevant. Like, oh, like that trailer's 9 weeks old now. Like, what does it matter? Why are they dissecting it? Like, we are not going to do that.
Yeah, we're not going to be like, hey, there's a beta this weekend sort of news.
Right. We might mention it, but we
might mention it if we're going to play it ourselves, but that's about it.
So leave a review, share, whatever you can do is greatly appreciated. If you're watching us live on Twitch, thank you. We do have our Twitch affiliation now, thanks to, again, to our amazing community that's growing more and more every day. And you can subscribe to us through that. If you link Twitch and Twitch Prime, you get a bunch of cool rewards for Twitch Prime, and you get a free sub per month. So if you choose to use that on us, that many of you have, that is appreciated. The other day when I was streaming, shout out to Jehonius. He's been a friend of mine for a very long time. He lives overseas, and he gifted us a sub, a member a sub. I believe it's for Co Chris on Twitch. So thank you for that. That was surprising when that happened on late Friday night, I think was when I was streaming Star Wars. He did that because I was streaming late enough that he was still awake the next day on Saturday in the future.
Yeah, it's usually me streaming super late, but your schedule has been busy.
Garbage.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to jump into the news, and it looks like there's not a lot of news as these studios are getting ready to go on break.
Yeah, this is just going to continue, at least the video game industry is kind of wonderful in that way, where news kind of just mid-November until January, outside of the Game Awards, just goes away. But this is where studios can take advantage of doing news and then just taking over the media websites. And this is kind of a huge one. Half-Life has a new game coming out in March 2020. Before everyone gets too excited, it is a VR game, so it's not Half-Life 3. It is a prequel. It is coming to Vive and Oculus and Windows VR, I believe, Windows Mixed Reality. So no PSVR, but this is huge because this is a full VR experience from Valve in the Half-Life universe. It's called Half-Life Alyx, and it's going to be coming March 2020. And it looks like they're going to charge like a full game release for this. I saw prices range in like $53, I think, is the pre-order.
Yeah.
But this is pretty huge. This is a AAA studio, or whatever you would classify Valve. I don't even know if you can consider them a AAA. They are a AAA studio in terms of the budget, but they just don't make that many games anymore. But they have the talent. They are making this, and it's coming soon. Everyone's excited for it. It made me start speccing out like VR headsets for PC. Even though I've not played the Half-Life series, it still made me like, maybe this is a good time to get into Half-Life.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the name Half-Life for years, and people are like, you know, Half-Life 3 win or whatever, and like begging and begging and begging for this, and it hasn't happened. But I've never, I don't even think I've seen gameplay of Half-Life.
It's one of those, it's a very important first-person shooter franchise. It was very innovative at the time. It gave us Portal. Like, we wouldn't have Portal because...
No, I mean, I know, and they own Steam, right?
Yeah, Valve owns Steam, which is why they kind of got away from game design, is just because they went from making games exclusively to having to maintain the number one video game service probably in the world.
Right.
And they make games when they can, and this is, like, a pretty big move. And they were very invested in VR and haven't really developed too many things for VR, and putting Half-Life on VR is, like, a very smart move if they want to be serious about virtual reality in the future, because people will buy VR headsets for Half-Life because it's that important.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is the marquee title for, you know, studio. Like, they're definitely on the level of, my understanding is they're on the level of whatever they make, people buy, like almost at the Naughty Dog level. Like, oh, it's whatever Naughty Dog's making, I'm getting.
Well, because they're really selective with what they make, it just brings that sort of attention to what they do. Every game they make is a hit because they take their time. They're very careful, except for Artifacts, which was like their card game for Hearthstone competition. That failed. But outside of that, they hit it out of the park every time. They just need to give me Left 4 Dead now, and then I'll be happy. But this definitely got me looking. I put a poll on Twitter last week, just like, I've never played Shenmue. Shenmue 3's out. Should I go run through the Shenmue games, or should I like dig out and go through the Half-Life games? Just because I've seen enough of the Half-Life games and know about that universe, just because it's hard not to if you were like playing Counter-Strike back in the day when Steam was starting, and jumping on Portal when Portal was like first playable. And so Half-Life is like that gap that I like just glanced over, but I'm hoping like maybe this is the thing that gets me to it. But I'm also afraid that I'm gonna get hooked and then want to look into a VR headset for PC, which is expensive.
Michael's gonna play Half-Life and then join that community of Half-Life 3 win.
Yeah, well, I've just been trolling because Half-Life 3 has been that thing where it's like everyone was waiting for Duke Nukem Forever, Half-Life, and Shenmue came out, Duke Nukem obviously came out a couple years ago, and now Half-Life has a new game. It's not Half-Life 3, but it's something.
Right. Yeah, I don't know enough about Half-Life. It's cool. Like, any time that, you know, like, I guess from a standpoint of what I've heard, and like I mentioned before, like, if Valve is going to get back into making, you know, trying to make some, you know, major games, then it makes sense for them to dip into the VR field right now to prove to the user base that VR is valid. Because it is valid. It's not going anywhere. It's established itself between, you know, Oculus and everything like that as well.
It's kind of a shame, though, that they announced for Oculus, HTC Vive, and Windows Virtual Reality, but I guess PSVR just isn't strong enough for what they want to do, because they didn't announce that. And Valve has published games on PlayStation. Portal came over. Counter-Strike came over. they're skipping PSVR, which is a shame, but maybe the next version of PSVR, whenever that is announced, or if it actually ever happens, we can see this on it. If it turns out to be big enough or good enough. Well, it'll be big no matter what, but if it's good enough to deserve the Half-Life name.
Right. All right. The other bit of news that we came across this week was Amy Hennig, his new studio, will make story-focused games for emerging streaming platforms. Is it sad that the first thing that I thought about when I saw this story was, oh, when is this studio going to close?
That's messed up, because poor Amy Hennig, like, yeah. She's been trying to get something off the ground since leaving Naughty Dog, and it just hasn't worked out. And she's joining a company, Skydance Media, which they're a multimedia business. They own the rights to Terminator, Dark Fate, like the movies of that. And they did Annihilation, they did Mission Impossible Fallout. They do some video game stuff, like Archangel Hellfire, which was like a VR game, and then I guess they're working on a Walking Dead game. So they're trying to get in the video game realm. They must have money, because, you know, they make the Terminator movies, Mission Impossible movie. They're putting money in Amy Hennig, who's someone I'm desperate to see do more work. She helped with Uncharted, you know, she was one of the writers at Uncharted. Or mm-hmm. Naughty Dog.
Yeah, I mean, she did a fantastic job with, at least with Uncharted 1, 2, and 3. Sounds like 4 mm-hmm. got a whole rewrite, so.
Yeah, but that sounds like that was more of like a power struggle within the company. And then everything that, even though we didn't see much of the Star Wars game she was working on with Visceral, it looked cool and things sounded pretty cool from that, and that just didn't work out because of EA.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, reading through this article, she was having a conversation with Tim Schafer at DICE, at the DICE event. Tim Schafer of Double Fine at a DICE event. Sorry, I want to make sure I clarified that so people don't think I think Schafer works for DICE. and a lot of it, she pondered how the acceptance of streaming movies, music, and television shows might translate to gaming experiences. And I don't really know what that means, but then it says in here, and how streaming might lower the barrier of entry to more players. So, the first thing, I guess, that comes to mind then is, like, is this something that she might only release on Stadia, where that they might be able to control the performance?
That's what I'm thinking, and the barrier of entry is lower, being you don't need to buy a console for Stadia, or at least when Stadia comes out proper.
Well, and by the time that this game comes out, because, like, if she's just moving to the studio and starting on the studio, like, this game is at ground zero. Mm-hmm. So it would be, I would say, minimum 2 years.
Minimum 2 years, depending on the scope and scale that they want to go. We don't know how far she is in building a team. Because she's a writer. She's not a developer.
And if they want to do something to the, like, a somewhat, like, an episodic thing where maybe the, and this is something that Stadia, like, this is all coming to my head right now, but this is something that could be really cool on Stadia if this company would want to release weekly or monthly content for this game that evolves the story. Similar to how, like, episodes work for, like, Telltale's The Walking Dead and games like that, to where how we're waiting, you weekly wait for a new show to air, you know, whatever weekly show you're watching on network television, to where this game could be something that maybe every month we get, you know, 2 more hours of gameplay. That would be very interesting.
That's what Telltale tried to do, but they just weren't able to hit that consistently. And I would like your idea of, like, releasing, like, a monthly thing would probably be easier to do on Stadia, because you're just building for one platform. You don't have to worry, because Telltale was on, like, every single platform out there, so that was a lot of development time, just getting everything to work out and not be buggy.
And the player experience could be, this releases at 8 o'clock, and everybody can kind of play it together if they mm-hmm. wanted to, and it's already live and ready to go whenever they decide it to be through Stadia.
Yeah. Only thing that worries me about the story is it's Amy Hennig and Skydance Media announcing that, you know, that they're working on something and they want to work on something that would be good for streaming platforms, but because they can't name a specific streaming platform, I would almost be concerned that it's going to be just like this, you know, Skydance Media is just either going to work with someone who's not one of the big ones
or Amazon.
it's going to be a streaming service we've never heard of, since every company seems to be trying to get in on a streaming service thing. Because if it was xCloud, Microsoft would have just announced this partnership at XO 2019 last week. If it was Google Stadia needs all the PR in the world right now.
Hey, we got Amy Henning to make a Star Wars episodic style game. Like, what you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you know, like PlayStation has now, if they really wanted to swing for the fences, a way to get people to on PS Now is like, hey, a new game on PS Now day one with the writer from Uncharted, the Uncharted series.
Right.
I'm just concerned that this is just like, hey, we would love to release on streaming platforms, and it's going to be some weird platform we never heard of.
Yeah.
That will be hard to get a hold of.
I mean, that was always the problem with some of the Telltale games and stuff like that, was the length of time between releases. It was never consistent. If somebody could figure out a way to release an episodic style of content that released every two, like almost like Mandalorian style right now, every Friday morning at 6 a.m. there's a new episode. And then, or every, you know, the first of every month, there's going to be a new episode in this gaming world. Like, and then you don't have to worry about, did my system update it? Did the download? Is there copying that has to be done? Do I have enough room on my hard drive? If you can eliminate that barrier to where somebody could be like, hey, it's live, play it. Because we all are the victim of, in the moment of, oh crap, I can't play Overwatch right now because there's an update. Let me just go play something else. And then they forget that they wanted to play Overwatch.
That shit happened to me twice today with two different games as I was moving from PlayStation to PlayStation, because I have a, Sarah's OG PlayStation is on a TV and my PS4 Pro is on my desk. And I was like trying to play Call of Duty on the living room TV, and it was like, oh, there's like a 20 gig patch. I was like, son of a bitch. So then I'm like, all right, I won't play that. Oh, I have something downloaded on my other PS4. Go over there, and then there's another patch for the other game I wanted to play.
So then, it's frustrating. And then you forget what you were going to play.
Yeah, no, then I just ended up watching wrestling, which is probably a mistake. What I would hope, though, with a streaming platform, what that brings in is the thing that Stadia promised us of, like, there's no patches, it works on pretty much anything that the platform's on, and that would help with developers, because I mentioned with Telltale, they were on so many different platforms per episode, and they have to, you know, they have to make sure it works on all those platforms. They have to develop for some of these platforms in a very specific way that they would other platforms. Having a single service that they're working for that works on multiple platforms without them having to do any work on the back end could open up the possibility of episodic stuff actually working a little bit better and getting that timing down. I still don't understand why studios don't just finish everything at one time and then chop it up and then release it episodical. But I guess it comes down to finance stuff that I'll just like never understand.
Right.
Because that's kind of how the Hitman stuff worked.
Yeah, I mean, Hitman was always a game that released full content, and then they decided to do episodic, but I think it sounded like that they still made the full content, they just staggered it out.
Yeah, and it worked in terms of quality, but sales-wise, it didn't sound like that was, like, the best thing for them. They're still good now, but it was definitely one of those opportunities that they saw just didn't really work out, and then Hitman 2 came out, and they didn't do the episodic because of that. So there's a lot of finance stuff that, like, I'll never understand, and it's super complicated. But I'm hoping streaming as a platform could, like, ease some of that tension and some of those financial burdens going into the future.
That looks like it's it for the news. Like we said, a pretty light week. A lot of companies start their, you know, some of the, I mean, even a couple PR companies that I'm friends with. It sounds like a lot of people started traveling this weekend already, like going back home and a couple things. So definitely expect next week's episode to be pretty light news-wise, just because there won't be a ton of stuff coming out. Similar to this week. So we're going to move on to what we're playing and watching. I can go first because mine isn't super, super deep. I've been playing some more Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Ugh, I always mess that up. So, I'm progressing much farther in the game. I'm still having fun with it. I still am not in love with the checkpoint system, but learning to take my time a little bit better and realize that I can't just go gung-ho into these fights. Like a couple fights I had with like a ninth sister and things, and one of the boss battles, lots and lots of lightsaber fighting, which is fun and also frustrating because they are much better than you are at their moves, and you have to block and wait and be patient, and that's not the style of game that I enjoy playing all the time. But the puzzles and digging for things and going off the beaten path is what I'm having fun with, and then being rewarded for going off the beaten path. I found multiple chests. Like, I just got this ability to breathe, you know, like to breathe underwater for periods of time. And, you know, swimming underwater, finding a chest, getting a new lightsaber attachment or, you know, getting a new poncho or outfit or, you know, ship cover, ship skin. It's all things that I got so used to. Oh, you can buy them with the dust that you earn from playing the game, or you can give us real money and have your ship be purple. And I'm like, I don't really care. Now you find them in the game and it rewards you for, you know, like I said, going off the beaten path, which is fun and makes it worth it. Or when I find more life cells that I need desperately, because like for like the way that I play this game, I've been pumping a lot of skill points into my life to make sure that I don't die as fast as I tend to. Not super immersed, like I've mentioned before, not super immersed in the Star Wars universe, but I get a lot of Zelda vibes from this game, and that is a great thing for me. Even there's a planet you travel to and you're kind of climbing a tree, and trees, like the Dookie tree, has always been a big focal point in the Zelda games, and not to the same parallel Star Wars and Zelda are, but climbing up this tree and having an interaction with a creature, and then where I was actually riding on the creature and flying from one point to the other, was probably the coolest looking thing I've seen in a game in a long time. Being up above the clouds, seeing some of the trees poke through the clouds, seeing the draw distance in the game on my PC, obviously. I don't know what that scene would or would not have looked like on a PlayStation, but my PC is not... I don't even think my PC is any more or less powerful than a like a Pro or an Xbox One, if it's even stronger than that. So
it would your PC, based on what I know, it probably would be around the level of a base PS4.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looked great. And as much as I get frustrated in the game, the story is hooking me enough that I want to continue to see what's going on, and the gameplay is fun enough for me that it keeps me wanting to get better. And I die in an encounter, and I'm like, okay, I need to rethink my strategy, and I need to be patient, and I need to play this right. And then when you do play it right, it does reward you. Like when you kill a spider that you're fighting, and you get to do the super quick, you know, double move with the lightsaber that stabs it right through the, you know, it's just super rewarding. And I can't wait to get to the end. I hope I'm close. I have played a little bit more Destiny. I'm trying to get a little bit more focused on completing the new raid. I haven't completed the new raid, partially because I just can't seem to get a group of six together consistently enough to keep working through. So we're trying to get through it. I've gotten through the first three or four encounters, working on the last encounter. I really do want to beat it this season. And now I'm curious, as you know, we're less than 21 days from the new season. And the standpoint of where I'm at with Destiny 2 right now is I don't own any additional content right now. I bought Shadowkeep and the Season of the Undying. And at the time it was $30, and that's really all I could swing. The next season is supposed to cost $10. And like I said, it's supposed to come out, I think, around December 10th. And they haven't talked about it at all. They haven't started hyping it or advertising it or any of that. So there has been no talk about what we're going to get with that season. And when you start to separate Shadowkeep and Season of the Undying, Season of the Undying is what's currently going on now, and Shadowkeep was the new content that they were releasing, which was almost all the Moon content. If you take Shadowkeep out of the equation, Season of the Undying is slightly underwhelming in terms of what we were able to do. A lot of the items were in the Battle Pass system. The couple of weapons were in there. The armor, the seasonal armor was in there. The ornaments were in there. Some upgrade materials are in there. So those will probably all be in next season. The Vex Offensive, which is the seasonal replayable content that supposedly is going away, seems to be underwhelming. They put this thing on their roadmap called Vex Offensive Final Assault, and it was exactly the same encounter with just a different boss. And this is what I was talking about a couple months ago, where like the tower was changing, like they were building something to, we were helping the player, the Guardians were helping build something in the tower that was going to affect what was happening in the Vex Offensive, which we thought was going to have a bigger effect on when that happened this Tuesday. We thought it was going to have a much bigger effect on either the tower or the world, and that seems to have fallen flat in terms of what it's doing in the game. Bungie, in their weekly update, said something about trying to spin it to where you don't really know the full impact of your actions yet, and you know they're hopefully going to nail this transition from the end of this season to the beginning of next season of what's happening in this season affecting the start of next season. And then the other part that I'm really interested about is this will be the first time, and if I hope that they go full, they're fully committed to this, but this is the first time where they're going to be like, okay, that weapon that was offered that you earned from Vex Offensive, that scout rifle that you could go into Vex Offensive and get, when this season is over, you can no longer get that weapon. Like, I really hope that they do that and they commit to it and say, if you didn't play from September or October 1st of 2019 to December 10th of 2019, you can't come back in February and go get that weapon or get that armor or get those, you know. And I really hope it's one of those things where somebody sees something in a year from now and says, hey, that's really cool. Like, where did that come from? I feel like some people sit there and say, well, that would turn me off from playing the game. But I also feel like it was one of those things where, like, you reward your players that were there at that time. I mean, what do you think about, like, literally taking something and making it unearnable now?
I have two thoughts on it. If the developer feels that they need to do that, I have no problem with them doing that. But I understand the community is, specifically the Destiny community, it's very much about obtaining all the items and obtaining the best items that you possibly can. So I can see the frustration on the community side for that. Are you like frustrated with that? Or are you cool with that?
I'm okay with it. I mean, it's some of that similar happens in other games with like events.
Yeah.
Like when they have like a seasonal event, and Destiny's had it before. But you know, like somebody mentioned to me the other day of like, I don't want this game. I don't want Destiny to have more fear of missing out. I want it to have less of fear of missing out. And I'm kind of the opposite. I feel like a game, if they're going to fully commit to the seasonal aspects of the game, like, if you want things, like, and none of that, like, I'm using that scout rifle as an example. It's not great. It's not terrible. Some people love it. Some people hate it. If you get the right roll on it, you like scout rifles, it's good. But it's not game-breaking, and it's also not, like, top-tier meta in the game. There's really nothing that's come from this season that's been, like, top-tier meta. But I think it's important to have things in the game that reward the people from being there when it was available. And if you continue to allow people to come back to your game later, months later, or take multiple months off from your game at a time and not have any repercussions for that, then why even have the seasons? Why not just keep layering the content on top?
Yeah, that's totally reasonable. Like, that's half the reason why when I was playing Overwatch, I would grind during seasonal events, is because I know not everyone would get everything from that season, and then you can walk around with, like, something cool for a year or a couple months until that season comes back.
Because they have things in the game that are harder to earn. Like, there's ships in the game that you can't get unless you complete a 980 Nightfall. Mm-hmm. Like, a 980 Master Nightfall. And that's hard content. Like, I haven't completed one of those yet. So, there are things that are there that... And I guess the community feels vastly different about something that's there that I know that I could potentially get eventually versus something that was there that I can never get now. So, but in terms of selling the season, because I feel like if you're going to sell this next season, show something really cool that's only available during that season and say, hey, this, you know, this is part of the season, season 9. I don't know. I can't remember what number it is. This is part of season 9's content. And if you don't purchase season 9, you can't get this. Like, there has to be, and like, I feel like there has to be a reason. Otherwise, oh, I'll just skip season 9 and I'll buy season 10 because that's probably going to be cooler, and then I'll just earn whatever was available in season 9 in season 10. Like, I don't think that's the goal of what you would want.
Yeah, no, it defeats the purpose of seasonal.
Right. So
if you do that.
But we'll see. I mean, we might get a hint of that this week, and because they continue to do, Bungie does weekly updates, so we might get a hint of that. I watched the Lions lose a game today to a 1-9 team. So that was fantastic. Fell asleep during the game, though.
anytime I watch professional sports.
Oh, so you fall asleep during wrestling?
I said professional sports, not sports entertainment.
Also, I watched a little bit more Star Wars. I got through, you know, like last week I watched episode 4 and half of 5. I finished 5 and watched episode 6. I am going to watch episode 1, 2, and 3. Then I'll jump over, and then maybe I don't know if we're going to go see the new Rise of Skywalker movie, like, right when it comes out, because movie theaters are nuts, like, the first week that movies come out, and then they'll be even worse during the week of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see from there. That's kind of really all I played and watched. I ended up working a bunch this week. We had some issues.
Are you fitting The Mandalorian in with your Star Wars rewatch, or are you waiting?
No, I've watched episode 1 and 2 of The Mandalorian. I did not watch episode 3 because I really want my wife to watch 1 and 2. So we started to watch episode 1 again, and it just didn't seem to, like, she was tired and it wasn't really clicking right away. She's like, it was like 10 minutes in, and she's like, okay, like, I really like what I'm seeing so far, but she's like, I don't have the mentality to watch this right now. She's been very tired. She's been helping do a lot of stuff at school and at her job. And Owen's being a 4-year-old, so it's kind of wearing us out. Mm-hmm. So, but she seems very interested in what's going on in The Mandalorian, so I want to rewatch episode 1 and 2 with her before I watch 3. I will keep up with it. I don't really fully know or understand what's going on in The Mandalorian, but I think that's kind of part of the process, part of what they're trying to accomplish to keep people engaged and watching.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that they do a very good job of... I have a problem of doing... I'm trying to think about the best way to word this. Somebody watching the if I sat my dad down and had my dad watch episode 1 of The Mandalorian, my dad knows almost next to nothing about Star Wars, would he be entertained by the show? I think so. Would he understand what's going on in a story? Probably not. And I feel like that might be a bad thing of them catering to Star Wars fans and not to new fans. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but I can totally see that being their intent.
Yeah. And it just sucks because I'm not, like, the concept looks really cool. And, you know, watching episode 4, 5, and 6 and seeing what I believe, and God, people are probably going to kill me. Is Boba Fett a Mandalorian?
You're talking to someone who casually watches Star Wars.
Because Boba Fett looked in the movies, the bounty hunter looks just like the Mandalorian looks in terms of armor and all those things. But I don't, like, that's what I don't understand. Like, I don't understand what a Mandalorian is. And I know the worlds he's going to and I know who he's obtained as part of his bounty right now or what I think it is. I'm not going to spoil that.
The crazy thing is I feel like you watching more Star Wars only makes it more confusing.
Yeah. So, and it's never been that I didn't want to watch Star Wars. It's just for a long time they weren't always easily obtainable. And now it's right there on Disney Plus front and center, which is great. And the stuff that Disney Plus is offering is fantastic. My 4-year-old just doesn't seem to be into any of it. but that's really it for playing and watching for me. If I play Star Wars anymore this week, I will stream it. I'm trying to see how much farther I can get in it. And if I know that there's not a lot of you that love Destiny, so I try when I play Destiny, I try not to stream it. But if it's something that you guys want to see, if you want to see me go through a raid, if you want to see us do some of the higher end content and things like that in Destiny, like let me know, tweet at us. But I try not to stream Destiny because that's just kind of my game. That's my chill out game that I play with friends.
Nah, man, stream away. Stream away. just put a lot of warning signs on it. Dave plays Destiny. Yeah. Destiny, Destiny, Destiny. It's fine.
So, all right, what you been doing, bud?
Been pretty busy. A lot of work. Ended up working way too much this week, so my video game time was a little limited. Still going through Dragon Age 2. Just gonna say a controversial thing, I think Dragon Age 2 is a better game than Dragon Age 1. I know from listening to like Game of the Year award shows all the way back then 10 years ago that was a controversial thing and people were hating on Dragon Age 2 because it cut a shit ton of corners because it was like a fast turnaround between 1 and 2 where they have you go through a lot of areas over and over again and just, like, close a door. That type of bullshit. Where it's just like, oh, this is the same hallway or dungeon I was just in 2 hours ago, but this door is open now. So it's different, I guess. And that sucks. That is a real bummer. But the story and characters are so much better developed that I'm enjoying that. I'm mostly just I am just watching Sarah play through it. This is one of her favorite franchises, but I think Dragon Age 2 is a significantly better game to watch than Dragon Age 1 was, and they made technical leaps, so there's that. I did finally purchase After Party. I bought it on PS4, even if it was on sale on Epic Game Store. I was like, I just want to play this on my couch, so I bought it on the PS4. I'm enjoying it. I'm only about half hour into the game, maybe a little bit more, like 40 minutes. The concept is you are two best friends, and you end up dead and in hell, and you're trying to figure out how you died and what happened and how, if it, at all, you can get out of hell. The writing is amazing. I'm enjoying it. I'm laughing every couple seconds. It's like witty, pretty fast. So far, everything in the gameplay, though, which isn't a surprise to me, because the developers is Night School, the previous game Oxenfree was the same way. It's dialogue heavy, so you're just kind of picking dialogue options and moving the conversation along. But the art style, all that stuff, is just great. Like I'm enjoying that so much, and I'm hoping I can like get through the game, find time this week. Though this week is going to be tough to find like any game time. Like I have one day off this week, not including today. Just work is just going to kill me. So that's kind of it for playing, unfortunately. So one really old game that I'm just watching, and then a newer game that I'm playing. I did buy Medieval because it was on sale for $20 on a PlayStation store for, you know, like Black Friday week. So I'm hoping to jump into that. That was a game that loved as a kid. Don't know if I really want to play it in 2019, but it was on sale and I'm a sucker for that. I'm going to end up fucking buying so many games this week and never playing them. I still have Wolfenstein Youngblood or whatever shrink wrapped, and I haven't played that yet. And I'm here I am just buying more games. Like I Medieval's downloaded on one of my PS4s. Hopefully I get to it eventually. Yesterday, Saturday, if you're listening to the recording of this last week, I went to NXT, which was in Chicago. First show I've been to, a wrestling show I've been to since 2002. So it was interesting just to see, like I watch wrestling like pretty regularly. Obviously, if you listen to the show, you know. And I know all the advances they've made, you know, with like stages, lighting, technology, because I watch the product on TV. But being there in person, it's great to see like all the stuff up close and personal. I went to NXT War Games, which was the gimmick with that is there are two rings side by side and then two steel cages over those two rings. So it's just pure chaos. Like there was a women's 4v4 cage match, and then it was a men's 4v4 cage match, and it was just crazy watching these people damn near kill themselves at every opportunity and chance. So I just was enjoying that. It was Sarah's first wrestling show, and it was funny that one of the first things she did is during the first match, everyone's wrestling, she leaned over and she's like, "We can't hear the commentators, can we?" I was like, "Nope." And she's like, "This is gonna be really weird," but within like 20 minutes she got super into it, and her friend was there too, and she got super into the show, and they were chanting as they were like learning the chants that people were saying, because her friend doesn't watch wrestling at all. Sarah watches wrestling like when through osmosis. Basically
it's on when she's over working. Yeah. She's overworking on something, it's on in the background.
Pretty much, except like she's like a fan of certain like women wrestlers, but even then she doesn't keep up with like the week-to-week storytelling. But it was just so much fun to see all that. There was like surprises throughout the night. They gave away these little wristbands, which I've seen these at like E3 press conferences where these are.
Is that like your Xbox wristband?
Yes, this is like the Xbox wristband. I was so happy. So like when we walked through the doors, there was people just screaming free wristbands, and there was people just ignoring them. And I'm like, fuck, I know exactly what that is. So I ran over there, got a free wristband. Told Sarah and her friend, here, get these. They're like, what's these for? I'm like, these will interact throughout the entire show with different colors. And it did for like the entrances. It just like would match like whatever the color
of like the Jumbotron stuff and things like that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was nice. They got a big kick out of that. Like they got really excited for that.
Hey, it's blue. No, it's purple.
Yeah. And it's just like cool stuff like that, that shows you how far wrestling's gone. Because when I went 2002, there was like none of this shit.
Yeah. So I guess that's something I never really thought about, though. Like the commentary is somewhat what makes the experience of wrestling. Do they not offer? I mean, you see those people that watch, like go to baseball games live, and then they put like a like their radio, like an FM radio or their phone, and they're listening to the radio play by play, because you know, it can baseball games, if there's not a whole lot going on, like it could be pretty quiet, you know, other than the crowd. Is there any option to listen to the commentary at all?
No, like, I guess if you wanted to watch the network feed on your phone, you can, but there's going to be a delay.
Yeah.
There's, like, I think WWE runs on, like, a 20 to 40 second delay.
I mean, because the commentary is, I would almost say, like, 20 or 30% of the entertainment, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It takes a while to get used to, but they're really good at, well, Chicago's a really good wrestling town, and that's not me being biased.
Yeah.
That's just, like,
it's a Midwestern town. I mean, wrestling's big in the Midwest in general.
Yeah, there's like certain towns that are like on like God tier for wrestling, and it's like, you know, New York sometimes, Boston, Philly, Chicago, Detroit, specifically the Joe Louis Arena, which I don't think is around anymore.
Yeah, it's still there. I don't think it's been torn down yet. It's close. So.
Yeah. I know specifically with that arena because they've done other arenas in Detroit.
Yeah, and specifically that arena. There's been some pretty historic things that have happened WWE, WWF style in Joe Louis.
Yeah, and there's something about the acoustics with that building specifically that when they do other buildings in Detroit, just doesn't sound the same.
Right.
Chicago's Rosemont Horizon or Allstate Arena is one of those arenas, and the Chicago crowd just like makes that alive. So the crowd constantly being hype and excited definitely helps not having the commentary. And they're really good at like miking the ring, so you hear like every bit of impact and slap, and the wrestlers like kind of cursing at each other.
I mean, I have never been to. I don't go to very many live events in general.
But it was fun. And then the funny thing is like, so we just saw like, oh, it was just funny though. There's so many like weird things that I would have to explain to them about wrestling that they were just laughing at all the wrong, not all the wrong things, but there's just like weird things. Like one of the wrestlers, Tommaso Ciampa, occasionally refers to himself as Daddy, and at one point there's 15,000 people chanting Daddy, Daddy's Home, and mostly men are chanting Daddy and Daddy's Home, and Sarah and her friend just lost it. They're like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, he calls himself Daddy. She's like, but these guys are unironically chanting Daddy to this guy. And I'm like, yeah, they are. Wrestling's beautiful. And they got into it and were chanting along. But we ended up after, so the show, it was only a 2.5 hour show, which is why I picked the show, because wrestling is in Chicago for 4 nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
This is the shortest of the shows. For the most part, it was like 2.5 hours, and I thought it was a good idea to do a 2.5 hour show as opposed to doing a 6 hour show. So we got there at like 6, got out around 8:30, 9 o'clock, had to go out of the parking lot, which if you've ever been to any sporting event, that's like half the battle.
Get on the freeway.
And then we're like, hey, Frozen's out. Frozen 2 is out this week. Let's go see Frozen 2. So he went from a wrestling event to seeing Frozen 2 because there's a movie theater like a couple, like a 5 minute drive away.
Yeah, my wife said that, like, she's like, oh, Michael went to go see Frozen. I'm like, Michael's at wrestling. She's like, not anymore.
Yep, no, yeah, we got out of the parking lot at like 9:10, 9:15, and then we realized that like, oh, Frozen starts at 10. Let's just fucking go to the movie theater over here. It's the nice movie theater with like the Dolby cinema, where like the sound just like you feel it in your bones every time there's a sound effect. Went to see that, saw Frozen 2, cracked up at like the complete like 180 we did from being at like a wrestling show to seeing Frozen 2. Frozen 2 was pretty good. I don't think it's as good as 1. I'm not like the biggest Frozen fan to begin with. Frozen 1 is, I feel, was better. Frozen 2 had more songs, didn't have anything song-wise that topped the songs from Frozen 2. But I still didn't enjoy it. And I also just loved the combination we did that night of going to a wrestling show and following it up to Frozen and not getting home until like 1, 2 in the morning.
All right. Well, that leads into a question that someone left in chat, Build Dogs. He asked what your favorite Disney movie, what our favorite Disney movie is.
Mulan. If we're just doing the animated movies, Mulan.
You took mine.
Oh, so Mulan is your favorite as well?
Yeah. I enjoy the concept of Mulan, the story arc, and the you know, it's almost, I guess, if you really think about it, it's similar to, like, a Rocky storyline, but in a Disney spin on it. So,
The music.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a bad song in that movie.
Right.
Yeah, I've been rewatching a lot of that stuff. If we're going to do Disney Channel original movies, it's going to be Alley Cat Strike. I don't know if Dave was in the era of Disney Channel original movies.
I've seen
you might have just missed that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's really nothing that I don't really know if there's been a Disney movie that I'm like, okay, that's not good, like in terms of like their animated stuff, at least. Like, I've never like been disappointed with watching one of those.
What would you say, what's your favorite Pixar movie? Because that's like in a separate.
Toy Story 1 is just great, so
yeah. I asked you this question, but I don't really have an answer. I would probably, I really love A Bug's Life, even though I haven't seen it in a while. I would say Bug's Life would be my favorite one. I still have, like, I don't have them with me. They're at my parents', and I keep meaning every time I visit my parents to take them home. I have for A Bug's Life, they had, like, the characters in, like, these full, like, 1 foot models that were, like, room protectors. They were, like, security devices, so if you passed by them, it would, like, alert you that someone was coming.
Uh-huh.
I have 2 of those. Like, I really like the Bug's Life merchandise. I was kind of sad I never got to see A Bug's Life stuff at Disneyland before they tore all that down. But A Bug's Life would probably be my favorite, like, Pixar movie.
All right. Did you watch anything else? Or?
No. It's just been that, and I've been watching some true crime documentaries, but that's not really fun to talk about on a podcast.
Angela watches so much live PD. Like, Owen's at the point now, can I lay down with you and watch police officers on TV? And
I'm just God.
So, but I don't even know if he knows, like, half of what's going on in that.
But that's still the type of stuff that will get you in trouble when he's at daycare or something says some stuff.
Well, fortunately, we have one person that watches him, so then she's a saint, because she watches him. She spends more time with him than we do, obviously, because she watches him Monday through Friday, and she does a fantastic job. And then it doesn't surprise me, because my daughter is super into criminal justice, and, like, for when my daughter was really young, she loved, like, Dog the Bounty Hunter. And Cops, like, those were her shows when she was a kid. She's gonna probably end up being some Homeland Security or FBI agent when she's done with college, so that's kind of what she likes to do. So the fact that Owen is kind of falling into that same realm isn't super surprising, and Angela looks at it as background noise. She claims that she can watch TV at the same time that she's putzing on her phone, but I can't even have a conversation with her if she's watching TV or looking at something on her phone, because she doesn't hear what I say. I love my wife, but she can't multitask.
It's one of those things where I don't usually watch, like, the crime shows. It was a lot of, it wasn't like I was watching, like, true story stuff, like, not like the procedural, like, sitcoms. And it was just one of those things where I was just so dead after work, after, like, working, like, a 10-hour shift, that I couldn't really do anything, and I didn't want to pay any attention to anything even though this stuff is super serious, but I didn't want to pay attention to stuff that, like, I need to, like, actually pay attention to. And for some reason, I just went on that kick of just, like, Netflix recommended something. Fuck it, watch it. And I watched something on Bikram yoga. I won't go into details on that because it's, like, a horrible thing, but it was just one of those things where, like, ESPN did, like, a 30 for 30, like, podcast series on it. So I was listening to that, and then I saw Netflix made a documentary on it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch that.
And I did watch those because you recommended them, and they showed up on Netflix. I did watch those. I'm going to get the name wrong, but the TV show about, like, the Ninja Turtle toys and the Power Ranger toys.
Oh, yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, like, those were fascinating, of, like, how companies got the rights to them. And I had always knew how Power Rangers worked, mm-hmm. in terms of using the other, like, essentially, like, they're the king of reused assets.
Yes.
So, but just hearing the stories or like, and what happened to that guy with Ninja Turtles when it was bought and then he got nothing for it. Like, those are always, like, fascinating.
Dude, so, the Ninja Turtles one almost made me cry at the end.
Or just how it became a thing, and I remember those toys, and I remember thinking as a kid, like, oh, that's so cool, there's another toy. Like, now that I'm, like, you know, in my mid-30s, and I know what's going on, like, I'm like, I would be annoyed as a parent if I saw a new set of toys, like, every year.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many of those, like, toys were just people that had no idea what they were doing, they were just shooting their shot. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, how the Ninja Turtles happen, and that's how the Power Rangers happen, where they were just, like, the Power Rangers guy was like, he was rejected for 8 years, but he was like, fuck it. He kept trying, and then it finally worked.
Yeah, and it's something as simple as, like, you hear about millions of toys, like the Power Ranger that you click the belt buckle and the head flipped over. Like, and that made people's bonuses would take care of them financially for years.
Yeah, yeah. And I had all of those head-popping Power Rangers.
So, like, those shows were really good. Let's jump into some of the questions, because we do have, I think we're going to have a pretty interesting spotlight that we might interact with our Twitch chat a little bit more than we normally do. So our questions, you can send us questions on the Facebook group, which is 100% searchable now, and I've added a couple of you guys based on that. Just go ahead and search Digital Days Gaming on Facebook for groups. You'll apply for membership, Michael or myself will approve you, and you can join and have conversations, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Digital Days Pod, and you can ask us questions using hashtag Ask Digital Days. Steven Wren writes, who has the most embarrassing backlog of games and why? Michael's raising his hand. I have a backlog of games, but at a certain point in time, I kind of just say, like, well, I'll get to it when I get to it. I don't really, like, look at what I have. And some of the games that I own, I want to play, and they're most of them, some of them my son takes are games that are my son's. But the thing that I'm actually most annoyed with right now that I have not played is I haven't finished Horizon Zero Dawn. I haven't finished Detroit, and I haven't started Spider-Man. Like, I haven't even started it. So those are the three that are really bothering me. Other ones, like, I've got, you know, a handful of games that through my relationships with people, they're like, here, we're going to send you this and for you to consider. And I'm like, I don't need it. They're like, no, I'm going to send it to you anyways. And I'm like, okay? Like, Ubisoft, like, sends me games all the time. I'm like, stop. I will say that Tim, who's in chat, I know that he has a pretty embarrassing backlog of games, to the point where he wrote in chat today that he's taking his PS... I believe he's a truck driver, and he's taking his PS3s with his PS3 with him when he goes to hotels, and he's trying to play. And I think he's completed, like, 17 or 20 games this year through a combination of PS3 and PS4, so... which is very interesting, but I know your backlog consists of, like you mentioned earlier, shrink wrap games.
Yeah, I didn't used to have this problem, but it's just so difficult sometimes for me to have self-control. And then I found a new way to horribly ruin my backlog, because I have an idea I want to do for this show, and I'm gonna start buying indie games every week just because I realized that there's so many indie games. There's like a new indie game like on PS4, Switch, or PC like every single day. And a lot of them are under $10. So I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to start buying an indie game a week, because that's just a fucking
Subway sandwich.
Yeah. That's just a sandwich.
That's going to be the segment. Subway sandwich indie games. We can get Subway to sponsor this. Yeah. We can do it.
It's like, should you buy the game or a sandwich, is basically the concept I'm thinking of. And now I'm just going to start doing research on buying just an indie game a week just to, you know, take my shot. Because it's not that bad. We spend money on stupider shit every week, you know. How many times, Dave, do you buy a drink at work? Multiple times. Gosh. And you're just like,
dude, my vending machine takes a debit card.
Mine too. And they started to put orange Coca-Cola in mine. So it's just like... Yeah. You know, especially when you work like a 10, 12 hour day, it's just like, well, if I just bring a water bottle to work, that's like three trips to the register for me to buy a drink. So I'm going to just put that money towards buying like an indie game a week, which is just going to kill my backlog, which is already ridiculous. Because I have Horizon in my backlog, shame too. Death Stranding, I took a break from just because I haven't had time to dive into it, the amount of time that game requires. Mentioned Wolfenstein last week earlier. It's pretty crazy. And then, like, I shouldn't count them in my backlog, but Games Pass on PC has
oh,
been
God.
A son of a bitch, because I downloaded like 3 or 4 games from that, you know, like on my actual hard drive.
So Star Wars had an update. Okay, so I'm playing Star Wars on Origin Premiere. So it had an update, which I don't know how updates do or don't work on my PC. I haven't learned that yet. I don't know if it automatically does it, if it does it when I open up Origins, however that works. I don't even know. So regardless, I opened up Origin. It's like updating. I'm like, okay, cool. So while it's updating, I decided to browse the Premiere Store. Then I'm like, oh, there's a game there. That looks interesting. Let me download this. And I'm like, this subscription expires on December 15th. And as of right now, I don't know if I'm re-upping or not, only because I would just end up... And not that it's a bad thing, but I'd end up playing more stuff on Premiere. And I just don't know if it would just take my focus away from something else. But it's like, oh, you have to have Premiere opened while you're waiting for a game to upload. And then the store is right there.
No joke. That shit fucking happened to me this week. Where I went to go load Outer Worlds. Also, I'm playing Outer Worlds. I didn't mention that earlier, but I talked about it like every week since we started the show. And it's the first time a patch hit on PC. And when you use Xbox Game Pass, you use the Windows Store for everything, for patches, downloading the game. And it needed a patch, so Windows Store disabled the icon on my desktop, so there's no way for me to load the game without patching it. I'm used to, on console for single-player games, just being able to skip the patch. It just kicks you off and you're offline. There's no option for that. So
this is DRM at its finest, by the way.
It basically did the broken icon. You know, the white file, the sheet of paper icon, and I couldn't do anything. And then I was just like, what the fuck's taking so long? I open the Windows Store, and then it says it's failing to download a 5GB patch. Doesn't give me a reason. I keep reloading. Then I have to open up the Xbox app pass or whatever, the Xbox application.
The launcher, yeah.
The launcher. And then I have to... delete Outer Worlds, and the entire time I'm like sweating bullets, like, please don't delete my progress. I had to delete it, and then luckily then that triggered the patch to update. It's like a 5GB patch. It was taking forever for whatever reason, even though I have really fast internet. And then I'm like, okay, I have time to kill. And then I open and start downloading games, and I end up downloading like 3 more games from Game Pass onto my system. And I'm not going to cancel Game Pass anytime soon, because it's only $5 a month.
Well, Dead Cells was on Premiere,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people have told me that they would, you know, I think if I stream Dead Cells, I may chuck my controller through the screen, but...
Could be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I ended up in the same situation where I'm just, like, trying to load things, and it sucks. And my game, there's so many games in my backlog.
Yep. All right. So moving on to our next question, Randy Sprouse. He's one of our actual Patreon supporters. I quit playing PvP games several years ago because I found myself getting too angry. I realized that the whole reason... For him playing video games was for enjoyment. Why was I playing if I was going to get so angry? So he stopped. These days I'm almost always PvE or co-op. Anyone else ever quit playing for a similar reason, or do most people have better control of their emotion? Go ahead.
I don't really get too angry. When I get angry or frustrated at a game, I just kind of stop playing the game for a while. A couple days. I've taken a couple day break for a couple week break from Overwatch from time to time, just because I get frustrated at, you know, the team bullshit with that game that you deal with sometimes. But I never rage too angry. I don't get really angry at a lot of things. Dave knows that, dealing with me. I never really stressed out or anything.
He's very even keel about most things.
Yeah. If something could be on fire and I'm just like, hey man, just let it happen.
He never gets too angry, and he also never gets too he never gets like overly excited or anything either. So he's,
except if Kevin Owens makes a surprise appearance at NXT like he did last night. And even then, like I have that on Twitter. You can hear my excitement just being like, holy shit. Like,
yeah. Sitting next to him for press conferences where something's happening, like even when they was like, I was like 2 feet away from you when Kingdom Hearts was announced, and we kind of knew it was coming, but we weren't really sure if it was coming, and he's like, yeah, oh cool, and then he's like, he just goes right into analyzing mode.
pretty much. So I never let my emotions get the better of me, especially with video games. I get frustrated with them, but you know I'm frustrated with a game if I just like quietly turn it off and walk away.
I mean, for me, from a PvP standpoint, it's something, if I guess just logging in to play PvP, like in like Call of Duty or in Battlefield or in any of those games where there's not really any increase in progression. And what I mean by that is, like, I know that there's something at the end, and I'm sorry, but like prestiging isn't enough for me. So a lot of times, like, my best comparison is like Destiny. I play a decent amount of Destiny PvP, partially because in some weeks, in some instances, or for some quests, like, that it requires it, and or there's certain things that I want to achieve or get from doing it. And as long as I feel like that there's, you know, something there at the end, then I will play it and I will grind it out. But like, I can take Modern Warfare as an example. I get frustrated playing Modern Warfare a little bit, just because I feel like that with the reflexes and the twitch shooting aspect of that game. But you won't ever really see me just playing Modern Warfare for like 2 or 3 hours, like by myself. I will gladly play that game 2 or 3 hours with Michael or with Johnny or with, you know, Steve or anybody that I've, you know, Palmer, like these people, like you would jump in a party and we just want to just goof around and, you know, have a conversation and play this game and try to win some games. Cool. Like I'm fine with that. That never really bothers me, but just to sit there and you'll never see me do like a Call of Duty stream for like 6 or 7 hours straight, just because like that won't happen.
Even when I do it, it's like 2 hours max and then I'm done.
Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes it just depends on your desire. Like the same thing. Like I remember, you know, playing Battlefield, like I was really bad at Battlefield 4 for a while. And then I just learned, you know, I think you just kind of got to learn what you do well. Like if you're really good at playing the objective and helping the team, if you can provide aid, like revive people or give health or give ammo, you know, or things, you know, other class actions like that, versus trying to win a one-on-one gunfight. Sometimes there's a lot of people that are just better than me. So, and I just accept that fact that there's people that are better than me. Lebetsky on Twitter, using hashtag AskDigitalDays. What are your thoughts, if any, on the Game Award nomination? Tons of Death Stranding and nothing for Days Gone, which I found interesting. So I don't really care about the Video Game Awards. I like the show because it's kind of like another reveal that they do for things. That's part of the reason why I like it. They show some pretty cool stuff. The unfortunate part is, like we've talked about this before, I think the earlier in the year you bring a game out, the less likely it is to get some huge accolades, unless it's like amazing.
Yeah, and I enjoyed Days Gone, but it launched with issues that eventually they fixed. It wasn't like horrible game-breaking issues, but there were enough issues when it fixed, and the people that vote for the Game of the Year award nominees, like the people that like get set the nominees, are all video game critics that probably their only impression of Days Gone was
pre-review, pre-release, yeah.
And that's where the game was at its roughest, as opposed to like even 2 weeks, 2 weeks after the game came out, it was like a significant overhaul of the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those 2 day 1 patch or that week 1 patches were significant.
Yeah, I remember one was like 17 gigs, and then like 2 weeks later, there was like another 20 gig patch. Yeah. And by then, like those critics are done and moved on to the next game. So I'm not completely surprised. Yeah.
Well, the cutoff was weird too. Like November 1st or something like that was kind of like almost like Death Stranding like hit the cutoff like right on the mark.
It's almost like they left the cutoff for Jeff Keighley's buddy, Kojima.
Yeah, and then, like, Fallen Order, which I think is, you know, for me right now is, and again, like, in terms of games that came out in 2019, Fallen Order is one of the more recent ones that I've been playing. Fallen Order is climbing up that list quickly. I still want to play Control before the end of the year, before we have our conversation about, you know, what we, our best of 2019, but I want 2019 to finish. And, mm-hmm. you know, and the cutoff for it was kind of weird, but I feel like if that cutoff would have been 2 weeks later, like, Fallen Order probably would have been up for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it definitely would have been up for, like, action-adventure. Could have been up for Game of the Year, though it sounds like it can be buggy from time to time.
Yeah, but then the unfortunate part for, you know, like, even just as bad for a game like Days Gone to maybe miss out on some accolades, but Fallen Order now... Like, that's not even going to be in 2020. Like, there's going to be so much stuff. Like, we're going to be going up against new consoles by then. So Fallen Order is just going to get, in terms of the, at least for the, of the game awards that Keighley does, like, that's just not going to, you're not even going to hear those words.
No, not at all. Because, like, Cyberpunk will be out. So many other.
Last of Us will be out. Like,
Last of Us,
new consoles will be out. Like,
yeah, so Fallen Order is the one getting robbed, pretty much.
Yeah, I love what Keighley's doing, and I think it's great. I just wish that maybe he waits a little longer. Use the internet as a tool. Maybe only announce stuff like December 1st and have your awards December 8th, but have it be like a public vote. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where...
Can't win, so...
Yeah, just because the planning of this is, like, not an easy undertaking, and he does a great job of what he could do. I think last year the Game Awards were, like, December 4th or...
Well, they're always, like, that first or second week of December, like, back when PSX was the same weekend.
Yeah, and this is hitting the second week of December, and I can't see them, like, if they would have, like, waited for, like, even 1 or 2 weeks from when they announced, that would have pushed them into the new year, because there's, like, no way they would, like, be able to mess around the holiday time. I'm wondering, I haven't played Death Stranding enough, but it's just one of those things where it's just, like, every time I see Death Stranding getting, like, a ton of praise, I'm just like, is it justified? But also, this year, 2019... I ended up finding a lot of games that I enjoyed, but on paper, compared to other years, it might not be the strongest year for gaming that we've seen, especially we're in a transition year, or transition year one, because the new consoles are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the big guns are, you know, next year for the new consoles, or they're just going to get pushed out the door right before fiscal year. So they had to fill out their list as much as they can, and this is just kind of the nominees we get.
Yeah, I mean, something's always going to be missed, or something's always going to be overlooked, or not, you know, as much loved as by one as it is by the other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so our spotlight this week, I wanted to have a little bit of fun. So this week, just a couple days ago, I was on the podcast The Game Won't Play Itself with Lard T-Maker and James. They reached out a couple weeks ago, and it worked out that my schedule was open on Saturday morning, so I hung out with them. Had some conversations, and part of that conversation was some of Michael's food habits came up.
Perfectly normal ones.
So it also sparked an idea in my head. So my first question to Michael is, what's the top side that you have to see at the Thanksgiving Day table, and what's the one that you either don't want to see or you're not touching?
Okay. When it comes to sides that are important to me, mac and cheese, a good macaroni and cheese, not just like a basic Kraft mac and cheese. It has to be baked macaroni and cheese, maybe with a little bit of like breadcrumbs on it, some scallions. It's Thanksgiving. You do a little bit of fancier mac and cheese. That is a must. That needs to be there. What I don't need is mashed potatoes. Any version of them. Because told Dave earlier, like, mashed potatoes are bad. Sweet potatoes or mashed sweet potatoes is even worse. Like, ugh, just don't want anything to do with mashed potatoes. And people always are like, oh, why do you hate potatoes? It's like, I like french fries. That's about it. Hash browns are okay. Mashed potatoes are disgusting. I can't deal with them.
So I posed this question on our Facebook group. John Binkley wrote, must have is baked corn. And the throwaway is sweet potatoes.
Yep.
For me, the must have for me is green bean casserole. I don't like anything cranberries. Like, so the cranberry.
Yeah, I was gonna say that would be my second is cranberry. I hate that shit.
So, and then Darren Allen wrote the one that can go is sweet potatoes, and then the one that was a must-have I thought was interesting is he put oyster dressing. So, I'm not really sure I know what that is. I mean, I know what oysters are.
That sounds like it could be a regional thing. Yeah. Like, I know what it is, but I just don't see its place in Thanksgiving dinner, but it could be a regional thing.
And then Justin Wilson, must is mac and cheese, and sweet potatoes can go. Yep. And then Randy Pinnock wrote, he won't touch sweet potatoes and he must have his baked mac and cheese. So you're actually in line with most of the people.
Yeah. Cause
I like mac and cheese too. Like a baked mac and cheese. I like just any kind of mac and cheese anyways. So
I do too. Any side of mac and cheese.
I'm a big pasta guy. So
yeah. Any mac and cheese is good.
Yeah. Pasta is huge for me just from my years of being a swimmer for carb loading. So I would figure out multiple different ways of getting as much pasta as I could, because just having spaghetti sauce and spaghetti sauce gets kind of bland. So, you know, Alfredo and, you know, sometimes plain macaroni or elbow macaroni and butter and, you know, a bunch of that mix I would do all the time. Do you like turkey?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like gravy?
Yes.
Is it white gravy or brown gravy?
My family will switch it up.
Yeah.
Some years. Okay. So I don't really have the white gravy would probably be my favorite, but I'm not going to like be opposed to any other sort of gravy.
I'm curious, do you go to your family's house for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Because a lot of my family work retail. We don't do Thanksgiving on that Thursday. We usually do it one of the days during that weekend, but yeah, I go to my mom's.
What's the unique thing? I'm curious, like the unique dish that's on your table, maybe that if you went to somebody else's house, wouldn't be there.
Okay, so Polish sausage.
Okay.
It's just like they get like the good Polish sausage, so it's not like, you know, like the one that's in a hot dog bun. It's just like a long like link of Polish sausage diced up in little pieces, and it's just kind of like a little bit of a side. And sometimes a little lasagna, like a tiny little lasagna. And
what is that, like, go ahead.
Yeah, well, specifically because like vegetarians that are there like would want like something obviously that isn't turkey as their base, so there's like lasagna, but everyone eats it. But we usually do like we do specifically chicken rice.
Okay.
The rice that we use during Thanksgiving, so like, you know, just the rice-a-roni, like rice.
Yep.
And then basic stuff.
What do desserts look like?
So Sarah makes a really good banana cream pie. So that is usually like the dessert that at least the last couple years has been like the dessert that we have. And I think that will probably be the same this year. We'll have that. I'm not a big dessert person. So, but that is like one in particular that I like, it's really good.
Okay.
But yeah, the sides are pretty basic. Like we do the casserole that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Do stuffing. I'm not the biggest fan of stuffing. It's weird. I can only have like a small portion of stuffing before I'm like disgusted with it. I know some people can just like eat a shit ton of stuffing. I can't.
So for me, like we go to my brother-in-law's house. They live a little bit like 20 minutes away, and there's usually like my wife's family, and it ends up being like 15 or 17 of us. Angela, I don't eat it, but Angela makes really good sweet potatoes that her family raves about, and I don't eat them. And she also makes a really good corn bake with essentially like a corn bread with corn in it. So that's, you know, that's really good. My sister-in-law has started making the green bean casserole, which is very easy. Why people make such a big deal about that, or like why people are kind of grossed out about it. I've seen some articles that green bean casserole was like one of the lower tiers, and my mom used to make a really, really good one, or she still does. I just don't get to see my parents that often. And like my son would look at it, you know, cream of mushroom and green beans and, you know, the bread toppings. And he like, I don't want that, like years ago. And now it's one of his like must have sides as he's gotten older. My brother-in-law, like it pretty much is like a prerequisite for my wife to be able to come to his house on Thanksgiving, has to make, she has to make a pecan pie.
By a cat.
Yeah. She has to make a pecan pie, and pecans are expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was hoping we'd get a little more interaction from the chat, but we are going a little later than normal in time frame right now. So, but yeah, like definitely while you guys are listening to this over the Thanksgiving holiday, please, like we focus on a lot of gaming, but I also like building the community is very important to us. Send pictures to us of your table. Like make me jealous of what you have on Thanksgiving. Like, I want to see it. So, you know, through Twitter, on the Facebook group, post the pictures. Like, I want to have a bunch of fun with you guys. And it doesn't have to always just be gaming related. If you have a really interesting moment with your family or, you know, something cool, like if your daughter, like, finishes first, you know, in a track meet or whatever, I want to know about it. I want to see those things. I've got three kids, and those are accomplishments. And sometimes you just need someone to, you know, your parents or your family members are always, you know, telling the same thing. Like, oh, good job, Susie. Like, I want to see that stuff. So I want to see your Thanksgiving spreads. I want to see your tables. I want to see your family pictures. Like, I want to know who's listening to Digital Days, and I want to get to know you guys and to see. A lot of you guys have sent me direct friend requests, and I love seeing all the pictures of kids earning rewards or, you know, just the random stuff that goes on Facebook. But I really, community is very important to us. So I want to see your table.
Show us that. Make us jealous.
Yeah. Send it to us on Black Friday when you're eating leftovers and we're stuck at work. So that was the spotlight for this week. I want to have a quick conversation about Patreon. I posted something on our Facebook group. So part of when we released Patreon, we were trying to figure out a balance. Michael told me about the podcast hosting tool we were going to use. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's great. Uh-huh, sure. Like, and then we subscribed to that tool, and I got to see some of it, some of the tools that it offers, and my wife got to see some of the tools that it offers. And the number one thing that it offers that I didn't have access to before was the scheduler.
Yeah.
So the scheduler is great, but also the way that the podcast is edited, whether it's being edited by Michael, or whether it's being edited by my wife, or it's being edited by myself, and that's kind of the order it goes in. It goes Angelo, Michael, and then me. We've been able to edit a little bit faster than I had anticipated. So I think Michael and I have been talking a little bit, and this is, I just want to hear you guys' feedback, but we're going to probably slightly adjust Patreon. It won't happen this month, so the people that did the awards, I know that our rewards weren't, you know, super, super substantial. And I know most of you have reached out to us and said, we just want to support you. We don't really care about what the return on investment is. And thank you for that. The support that we've gotten from Patreon right now, is definitely more than enough to cover our podcast hosting services per month if it continues at this rate. The support that we've gotten from Twitch already is financially going to be well. It'll take a little while for Twitch to be able to pay us as we're starting this process, but that's neither here nor there. So if you're looking on the live stream or watching on YouTube, we need to up our Patreon a little bit because this man needs a haircut. He desperately needs a haircut.
Yeah, probably need a haircut and something to distract this cat who just keeps walking through my camera feed.
The best value that we think that we can offer you guys is early access. So the live stream of the podcast is important to both of us. The Twitch community is important. Being here for you guys on a Sunday evening is not always the most convenient for you, but it works for our schedules, and it seems to work as we get, you know, our viewers spike up and down, and it goes down as we get later in the evening, which is fine. Past broadcasts are a thing, but the podcast is releasing on Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern time. Right now, that's the scheduled date. So what my first initial thought is moving the early access up to the $5 tier and giving you guys 48-hour access to that podcast, meaning you would get access to that podcast on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. It looks like, based on all the reading and everything that I've done, is that you would get a Patreon notification through Patreon or through email, depending on how you sign up for it, with a link, an RSS link. You can click on that RSS link, and it could work in your player, in your podcast player. A lot of that will depend on what podcast player you use, and we may or may not know what that is until it actually happens.
Yeah.
So, but if it doesn't work with your podcast player, it will work with whatever audio software you have in your phone or on your computer. Mm-hmm. So it'll just play like it would be if you clicked on a link in an article or something, or, you know, or something like that. Flash or, you know, similar things to that, QuickTimes as examples. I don't know if that software exists on certain phones or doesn't exist on certain phones. Over time, Michael has sent me music files. I go to click on them and it says, do you want to open this in Chrome or do you want to open this in like Podcast Addict? And I can listen to it in Podcast Addict as a audio playing device. I would guess that would be similar to how this would work. So
pretty much.
Is that something that would give value to you right now? Because right now, early access is on a $10 tier. And it's only 24-hour access. And to be brutally honest, nobody's done that yet. And I understand that $10 is a large commitment. I get it. But I think $5 is probably the sweet spot for us to offer you guys early access to where it can make our focus be record the show. We go into whatever we got to do with our Monday lives to get the show ready for, even if it's one person. The return on investment of our time is worth it to do that. If a bunch of you do it, then we can make huge upgrades to multiple things. Like get, you know, we can probably get Michael his own personal, somebody come to his house and cut his hair even, like on a weekly basis. and a permanent toy for that cat, like just an automatic laser player. and then like a $6 or $7 tier would be like bonus content or, you know, an extra episode. And then we might even move Discord up to like into like the $3 tier range. But I, like Michael had mentioned a couple weeks ago, we're like on the ground floor of building Digital Days Gaming, and I'm not expecting us to sit here and just, you know, be able to just rake in all this cash and just, you know, make it rain money. Like and that's not even remotely what I'm asking for. Your listenership coming on Twitch, hanging out with us, saying hi, interacting with us on Twitter, that is more than enough. But I want to know like what would prod you. I've talked to a couple people that listen to the show that have been friends of mine for years. One person's told me like, I have too much to listen to. I don't care if you offer early access for 50 cents. I'm not doing it. You know, like they've told me like straight up, like I'm patient. Like that doesn't matter to me, that I'm not the person you're going after. And it might be the case, you know, and as the show grows and evolves and changes, we may or may not get more or less, but you know, I can see, you know, there's a bunch of you that have done the $1 tip jar. Thank you. Like I said before, that essentially you doing the $1 tip jar pretty much pays for 1 month of hosting if you keep it for the entire year. And that's amazing. And you're awesome. And thank you. Cause that's things that don't come out of Michael's or mine's pocket. We were talking today, like me, you know, addition of better webcams, maybe looking into getting Michael a better, you know, a second monitor alternative so that he can, you know, help interact a little bit more with chat. So he doesn't necessarily have to look at his phone or his tablet when he's trying to listen to chat or look at chat because he can't listen to it. But small incremental upgrades to that to giving us the ability to communicate with you guys better. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, the downloads for the episodes are fantastic. We're hitting goals and we're crossing things off 6, 7, 8 weeks ahead of our tentatively scheduled times of where we set benchmarks at. And that's a huge tribute, huge kudos and thank you to the community. But the feedback from Patreon is important to Michael and myself. So please tweet at us right on the Facebook wall for our page. If you like the page, join the group. If you haven't joined the group, have a conversation. I want to hear it. And I also want to hear, I'll never use Patreon. Like that's okay. And that's more than acceptable feedback. And again, you being in the Twitch chat, you interacting with us on Twitter, you sharing the show, downloading the show. Those are all free things that you can do to help support us. And we love and thank you for that. But it's just, I just want to know like what, you know, like what could we offer that, you know, was interesting to you guys? Like, I don't, you know, somebody's like, oh, like, you know, is it something that bringing you on the show? Like, do we have to have a tier? Like, if you have a desire to be on the show or you want to check it out, is there a tier that you want to do that for? Like, we can look into adding that. That might be a little bit more pricey for us to bring you on the show. Somebody suggested, like, bringing guests on the show and putting them behind the tier. I have a personal problem doing that, of bringing somebody on, saying, hey, I want to bring you and your community to check us out, but we're going to put it behind a paywall. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's not a great look.
So yeah, here's the show that we recorded with you. You share it out to your community, but tell them they got to give me money to watch it or listen to it. That's not going to happen. We bring guests on the show. They'll be live with us on Twitch. They'll release at the regular time. If you're a Patreon that signs up for whatever our early access tier is, you'll get it then. But I will never, you know, put a show directly behind a paywall. I'll never put a guest on behind, unless it's like something like really, there'd be some really interesting circumstances if that interesting circumstance could end in last name of Langford, but that could be behind a paywall, but he probably would throw a fit for that too. I'm kidding. Josh won't be behind a paywall. He might be a Christmas present for everybody though. We'll see.
Hopefully we gotta reach out and figure that out.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this cat is getting so restless
right
now.
If you're only listening to the audio, you're missing the fact that you just see this tail going in front of the screen every time. noise you just heard was the possibility of knocking over what I hopefully was an empty can of soda.
It was an empty can that totally went over like the power surge protector that's under my desk. So, oh my god, this cat. And I fed him like an hour before we recorded. So,
do you have anything else that you wanted to add on to the Patreon conversation?
No, I mean, you pretty much nailed it. Like, we are just trying to get as much feedback as we can possibly. Because me and Dave, like, we're figuring things out as we go. You know, we're just two guys that have full-time jobs that like to do a podcast and, like, building a community. So we need all the feedback we can get so we can make something good and something worthwhile to everyone. Like, we're just kind of throwing stuff out there, seeing what works, what doesn't work. You're not going to hurt our feelings by giving us... like criticism or advice. So we recommend just doing that. Give us as much advice as possible.
Do you want stickers? Do you want it? Like, I know a lot of you said you really like the logo. We're probably going to reserve a t-shirt campaign for, you know, like when we're not like still a newborn. So I'm with you though. Like this background that you're looking at on the video, I would love to get a hoodie of this color with the logo on it. A couple of you have asked. And like I said, my wife has been a saint. Combination of Angela and Michael did this logo. Angela did the majority of the tweaking and things like that to it, and Michael gave some other feedback and some minor changes to it, and then Michael's friend did a lot of the overlays for us for the Twitch streams and stuff like, and some of the other, as we're submitting some images and some badges and stuff like that to Twitch to give our stream a little bit more of a unique look to it. Those are a lot of what you see there. So there's tons and tons of things that we're working on. Patreon shout outs are coming. We're just trying to clean some things up and see how things track and work. But there's no greater feeling than the couple of times that I've rolled out of bed in the morning and I check email and it's like, meet a new Patreon. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Like, these people really like what we're doing.
Yeah, especially we launched on November 1st, and as a recording, it's only the 24th. So we're still pretty damn young. We're going to be 5 episodes in, but still on the ground floor. We haven't even hit episode 10 yet, so we're still learning, tweaking, and changing.
Yeah, so your feedback is very important to us in all aspects of it. We've made some audio tweaks, we've changed some things. Michael and Angela have spent some time working on some tips and some things. I moved my microphone away from away from directly in front of my face so that you guys won't get that echo that may or may not be there. You won't hear big huge spikes in my audio anymore. I've tweaked some things. Michael's been working on some things too, so this is our form of communication with you guys, and the only way for you guys to communicate back to us is emails and Twitch and Facebook and YouTube. But speaking of social medias, youtube.com/digitaldaysgaming. Subscribe to the show. You'll see the show when the audio version goes up. The video version goes up on YouTube as well. Twitter is @DigitalDaysPod. Michael's Twitter is @TheFirstMJC. Mine is @GoodDaveHunt. Facebook group, like I said, just search Digital Days Gaming under groups. Facebook.com/DigitalDaysGaming for the Facebook page. Go ahead and like the page. And Patreon.com/DigitalDaysGaming.
Yep. I hope. Look out on Twitter for pictures of my cat and the struggle that I am dealing with right now as I'm trying to record.
Yeah. I hope everyone has, like we mentioned before, has a great, great holiday. Spend time with your family. If you're not in the States and you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope everyone just has a great week. And again, I want to see I want to see your tables. I want to see your spreads. I want to see your family. If you guys play football on Thanksgiving, like, I want to see the pictures. Like, I want to see your family traditions, and we want to see your family traditions, and want to see your uniqueness of your table. I know some people we've had venison on Thanksgiving with my brother-in-law and things like that. So I love to see the uniqueness of our listeners. The Simplecast, the service we use, there's some people that listen to the show in Australia. There's some people that listen to the show in Hawaii. I want to see what a Hawaiian Thanksgiving looks like. So I hope everyone has a great week. Quick shout outs to Tim. Tim Paulian, he gave us a subscription today during the show, and The Game Won't Play Itself subscribed with their Twitch Prime as well. So if you haven't listened to that show yet, it's on their past broadcast on Twitch, and it is TGWPIS, so twitch.tv/TGWPIS, The Games Won't Play Itself. I was on that show. It's on their past broadcast. I have no idea when they post their show weekly, but please go ahead and check that out. I had a great time recording with them. And Michael, you were on Too Young to Be This Old again?
Yeah, I do a monthly wrestling podcast with those guys, so find Too Young to Be This Old. and listen to me make predictions for Survivor Series that's already over as of tonight, but you can see how right or wrong I was on Survivor Series.
And then the Games Won't Play Itself is, if you're listening to the audio version of this, will be available to download right now. They just posted it in the Twitch chat as well. If you're watching us live on Twitch, it'll be available on Monday. That's it for the show. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great Black Friday. Somebody buy me a TV.
I don't really need one. Right,
so talk to you guys later. Bye.
See ya. I'll have a haircut next week, hopefully.
Depends on Patreon.